What if we did something like this to start? Hey, everybody. Welcome to the second season of the Lathia Leaders Podcast. Tyler, hit that intro music. Welcome back, guys. This is Donnie. Serve as the executive pastor here at Aletheia and the host of the Aletheia Leaders Podcast. So glad to be here with you on our first episode of season two, where we come together to discuss some issues that are pertinent to you. Basically, as a reminder, this podcast exists as an equipping place for you as leaders within our church. We are so excited about all that God is doing in you and through you, and we want to do our best to equip you so that you can have maximum impact in our community and beyond. So as I said, this is season two. If you're wondering, where is season one? Just click subscribe in your podcast app and then just scroll backwards and you can find at least five, maybe six previous episodes hanging out there for your listening pleasure. But today I've got some great news for you. Joining me here in the studio is not only Tyler Parker. Tyler Parker, say hi to everybody.
Yo.
Tyler Parker is our producer, and we've given him a microphone where she is allowed to use sparingly.
It's dangerous.
Sparingly, Tyler. There we go. That was enough. But more importantly, I have a co-host this season, and it is the one and only Sarah McCarthy. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
Sarah, you are not only are you our co-host, you are our first guest, I believe, on this podcast.
That's true. I was the guinea pig.
Yes, and you were so good that we brought you back.
Because Donnie signs my checks. He knew he could make me do it.
Yes. This is part of her expanded role is help me not to sound like help me not to sound foolish. Tyler was doing a poor job of that, so we brought in Sarah. Tyler, don't give me that look. Okay. So, Sarah, what are you excited about in being a part of this podcast? Why did you so, other than me signing your paycheck, what made you so excited to be a part of this season of the Aletheia Leaders Podcast?
Anything to liven up life in the basement of the YMCA, Donnie.
Yes, anything. You have to get away from CCB. If you can't have sunlight, might as well hang out with Tyler Parker.
Exactly.
He tried. Best thing. Yes. He gave it a shot.
Okay. So anyway, well, we got a great treat for you all. We had a moment to sit down with a few of our awesome leaders and discuss an important topic that we want to let you all know about. And so, Sarah, tell them about what they're about to hear about a cool conversation we just had a couple of days ago.
Absolutely. So today on the podcast, you get to hear from the famous Cher, Flo, and Adelina. Yes. They have been leading groups for a very long time together, and they are some of my heroes in our church and the women that I look up to the most. So we asked them to come and to talk to us about going relationally deep in your group and what it looks like to lead a group through the process of people forming relationships and going deep together and how that contributes to making disciples in their group. So we had a great time. We're super excited for you guys to get to hear this.
Yeah. Cher, Flo, and Adelina, Shodelina, as they're called in some circles, are pretty phenomenal leaders. So without further ado, Tyler, hit that recording of us hanging out with some great leaders. All right, leaders, Sarah and I are here with some great leaders you know and love who are going to be helping us tackle the subject of creating relational depth within your group. Many of you said that this was a challenge for you, and you wanted to hear a little bit more about some practical ways that you might press through this, or just general ways in which you might continue to develop the relational connectivity that you already have within your group. So, Sarah, we're going to be welcoming Flo and Adelina and Cher with us today. Cue the applause, Tyler. Nice. There we go. All right. So, ladies, thank you so much for being here. Now, leaders, I have asked them to be super candid and raw. So there's probably going to be a lot of laughter, but also some great truths for you today. So, ladies, say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Sarah, what do we think about these three? You think we can get some good stuff out of them in our time together today?
We'll see.
Yeah.
These three are wonderful. They've been leading groups in our church for a really long time.
Yeah, how long have y'all been leading now?
3 years?
3 or 4 years.
Three or 4 years together?
Yeah, together 3 years.
3 years together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's true.
Have you always met in the same location?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Up in the Teal Square area, mm-hmm. Davis Square, Teal Square?
Mm-hmm. Teal Square.
We have a name.
It's called Casa de Paz.
Yes.
House of Peace.
Oh. You're way too holy for us. Okay. So, all right. Well, for those of us who struggle to feel God's presence, I hope that we can learn from you a little bit more today. So in prep for this, Sarah sent out a few questions to you. I'm going to let her kind of take that over. But the reality is that we have you three, I think several times over the years, talk to either leaders or settings in which we kind of highlight this relational connectivity piece. We call it different things over time, but it's just this grace that God has given you in your leadership and a cool experience in your group. And so I know Sarah sent those questions to you, so I'm going to volley over to her, but we do want to learn from your experience and really hopefully get a little bit of what God has graced you with kind of on more of our groups. I know that's something I'm looking for in my group. I think Sarah is too, and her group that she's leading. So yeah, Sarah, why don't you take it from there and let's go through some of these questions that we have for these three awesome leaders.
Yeah. So to start out, like Pastor Donnie said, lots of our leaders feel this need for their groups to go sort of relationally deeper. And so I think this is a felt need that a lot of us have, but I'd love to hear from you guys more about how you've thought about like why it's important to go relationally deep in your group, like why that's important for discipleship, why that's important. Yeah, just why that's something you started pursuing. And if you guys can say your names when you talk, that would help the people listening to know who they're hearing from.
Flo is speaking.
Yeah, I think it's important because for me, relationships have to be authentic. And I hate small talk. And I think everyone who knows me knows that. So I kind of just go for it anyway in my own personal relationships and let alone group. But for me, what is important in creating that relational depth does start from the leaders. Like that is a conviction of mine. And so if you ask me how I did that, was I stubbornly pursued these two ladies over here. It's like, would you be my friend, please?
Very stubbornly.
Persistently. Yeah. And I mean, thankfully, we have become really good friends. And I think that the ladies in our group really can see that from us and desire that for themselves. So that's definitely one thing that came to mind.
I think I would add to that. This is Adelina. So I think that, you know, when we talk about discipleship and we're talking about being real and transparent with one another about where we are in our relationship with Christ, there has to be a level of safety in the group in order to share very, very rawly, very authentically.
That's a great point.
And so that's why I would say that relational depth is super important, because it allows you to cultivate a sense of safety within the group so that people feel more comfortable just sharing more authentically. And I think that that's something that our group has really grown in over the past couple of years, especially just being able to, through our discussions, just share more deeply as a result of that safety that they feel.
Yeah, this is Cher. Hi, everyone. I would agree with that. And first, I do want to caveat and say that our house is not holier than anyone else's house. Everybody can have a Casa de Paz, and it's God's will that everyone would. And there are actually many other great
have
community
groups.
Have
you seen some of our dudes' apartments?
Yes.
Okay, just
making
sure.
I can't speak for all of them, but there are some. Okay. There are some out there. But I do want to say this because, you know, here we are with the microphones, but there are actually many great community groups I've been hearing about out there. And I won't even name all their shout outs, but of people who are already cultivating this relational depth that we've learned a lot from. So I just want to caveat it with that like we've learned a lot from other community groups too, and to not forget that when you bump into each other on Sunday, you can be asking each other. But to this question of why is relational depth even important? I think it is important to remember, like, it should be important to us because it is important to Jesus. And when you look at his last prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of his biggest things was, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. And there was that intimacy. And like, you look scientifically and we are built for relationship. And it took science to prove something that Jesus was proclaiming long, long ago. And then Jesus prays that in John 17. And then later on in Acts 4, you see the fulfillment of that. And I'm actually going to read it here because it's just kind of the life verse that we really live by in terms of how we want to run our community group and kind of what the church is supposed to be. But you look at in the church in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 42, it said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Mm-hmm. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together at the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And were so quick to go to the Lord added to their number daily. But it's like, why would they even want to come? It's because they saw something different that the world wasn't offering.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think we all crave that intimacy and you know, like a sense of family, basically.
Yeah, it's a great point. This is kind of off script, but I'm curious. When you talk about relational depth, how much effort do you have to put in? Like, I mean, obviously this is qualitative. We can't say exactly how much, but like, but what kind of focus do you have to put into that? Is it, does it happen generally speaking? Is it like the way that you're wired, or does it, is it regardless of that you have to put in time and effort, in your opinion?
I think you have to put in time and effort. I think God is gracious enough that he will do good things regardless, but it does require a little bit of time and effort, and it's so worth it. You plant a seed and there comes a great harvest. Mm. I mean, I'll quote the friendship expert Shasta Nelson, who said good friendship has three big things in common. You have a common ground of understanding, you have constant contact, and increased vulnerability. And I think that's what we try to go for in our group. And that's what you see in scripture. You see they share the Lord in common, they have constant contact, and they're increasing in their vulnerability through prayer. And I think for us, I'll just mention a couple of structures that we do to be intentional with that. One is we pray, the three of us pray together. We meet half an hour before community group every week, and we pray for
that's great.
For God to come, and you, and not just for us and for the people, but that God would develop the relationships between the women there. So we pray beforehand. We also try to be intentional in meeting with each other once a month, now more because we live together. But we're intentional about actually carving out time for relational depth for ourselves. And then we do carve out time to spend time with our women outside of group, doing not just group things. And that takes careful guidance from the Lord, because you can't always meet with everybody one-on-one. And so you just have to ask God and trust God for the rest. Or, you know, there's always creative connections that are happening in different ways.
I wasn't going to speak to the structures part so much, but I was going to say to Donnie's question, to Pastor Donnie's question, that I think that there are certain ways that we're wired that makes this easier potentially for us than for other people, because we don't like the small talk. But let's just like common thread across us. We like to go deep in conversations with people. We like to like really know who they are. We like to hear their testimonies and that sort of thing. And another thing that I think that we all have going for us is that we ask really good questions. And for some people, that's harder to do, right? So so that doesn't necessarily come as naturally. But even so, even with like those strengths that we have going for us, I feel like we have to be very intentional in still cultivating that relational depth. And I think, you know, aside from the things that Cher mentioned, I think one other thing, as far as a structure that we don't probably think of really as a structure, is like we have a very deep relationship with Jesus individually. Mm-hmm. And I think that that then influences, that impacts then our ability to be deep with other people. So, you know, sometimes I find myself in a place where it's hard to connect meaningfully with people. And in those, at those times, in those situations, I have to ask myself, well, what, you know, what's the status of my relationship with Jesus? Am I getting enough time with him? Am I going deep enough with him? And that's usually kind of like the dipstick sort of litmus test measure, whatever, of like my ability to then go deep with other people. So.
Just last thing to add to that. I think there are some things that I've really learned from these two ladies about a heart of hospitality. Because before I became a group leader with them, you know, I was a participant in the group. And I remember walking in and not really understanding why, like, these ladies would be, like, how they hosted mattered. So, like, some things that I don't think we can take for granted would be share with, have a car ministry going on. So after group, she insists on like giving car rides to people. And that's wow. relational depth
sure.
creating. Mm-hmm. That's when she has those mm-hmm. deep question times when you cannot escape mm-hmm. from the car.
Just trap them. Or the times where the people who are, and I would encourage anybody who, you know, there are some people in group who don't want to share. And then you have a moment where like you're driving somebody home and they're like, oh, actually, I just broke up with my boyfriend and I'm also seeing this other guy. And like, that's when all the real stuff comes out. And it's actually been some of the most precious times. It's very easy to be like, you know what, I'm tired after community group. And yet those are some of my favorite times, is driving home with people and seeing what God just does through conversation.
So maybe related to that, I'd love for one of you to just share the sort of overall story of your group and what some of the highs and the lows have been, and just sort of like we said, this group's been around for a long time, and maybe share, since you were the initial leader, if you want to just share sort of some of what that's looked like.
Especially the dirt. We like to hear the dirt.
All the dirt. Absolutely. Here all we the dirt. Go. So, real story uncut. So, I was actually in, anybody who knows, who remembers Meg and Adam Norris, I was in their group.
Oh, yeah.
I was in their group.
I kicked them out of my group so they could start their group. Yeah.
So, I'm basically your grandkid.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I'm Donnie's grandchild.
I'm so old. Okay.
Spiritual grandchild. So I started out Megan Adams' co-ed group, and it was great. And felt like God was calling me to, he was like, share, like, we're called to multiply and increase. And felt like I was called to start a group and start a women's group, which at the time I was like, I'm not starting all women's group. I'm not into like the women's things, like what women talk about. I'm like, I just don't like being in those spaces. Like, that's not a picture of the church. Like, you need gender diversity, age diversity, da da da. And I actually was a little bit averse to it. And then God just softened my heart. And I don't know why, he just called me to start up a women's group. So those of you who remember Morgan Joseph, she also was called. So we both started together. We had our first community group in November of 2014. And I think Adelina
was the first member.
Adelina was our first member. And I preach as if there were thousands there. I facilitated as if we had 20 people in the room. I was like, you gotta preach to what you're gonna have, I guess. And we just shared a meal together. And Morgan just laughed at me. And Adelina was like, I have other things to do, but I'll be your first member.
That's not true.
I think she was going to another church at the time still.
No,
just kidding.
No, I wasn't. Oh.
Well, there you go. My memory stands to be corrected. So, but it was the three of us shortly after, I think a few months later, Flo started coming. I feel like
how was your first official member?
first official. So basically, I'm going off of a word of God, like start up a women's group. I was like, okay. And quite honestly, I wanted it to be small because I was like, I have too many other people to worry about. Work was overwhelming. I'm in charge of 1,000 people, large network globally. I'm fine with just like
three or four people. I was secretly hoping more people wouldn't come. And like God was just making it bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, all the best things of the Lord are small. Jesus said the kingdom is like a seed. And I kind of just wanted it small. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I would just thank God, like with each person that came and asked him what his heart is. Flo eventually came along a few months in, she was like calling me up. Hey, I just want to bless you. Can I help support you in some way? And I was like, wait, like discipleship? You want to disciple me? But that's weird. I'm your group leader. And she's like, no, not discipleship. I'm like, I disciple you, but you're older than me. And we're kind of at the same level. And she's like, no, not you. Like a friendship. And I really didn't really know friendship at that time. I was like, oh, tell me about this friendship thing. How does it work?
What is this you speak of?
And she's like, friendship is a form of discipleship. So,
and I'm then, sure, you know, I didn't say that, you know, in that accent.
You know, Flo is... anyways, to make a long story short, Flo started just kind of encouraging me. Morgan ended up leaving as a leader. Flo and Adelina were hanging out on the sidelines, and eventually God brought them both along as co-leads. And I was so grateful. It's so much easier doing this with a partner.
Yeah,
a lot easier. And yeah, and then it's just been growing and growing. It's gone through different kind of phases along the way, and and there did come a point where we just had so many people coming, we had to stop advertising the group, just because we had so many people coming naturally, that we're like, if we do any more than this, we're not going to be able to be faithful to the people we have, and we want to create a relational depth. And I think for some groups, I mean, it's still good to like advertise, let people know that you're out there. I know some, I had other friends that were running groups and like no one's coming there, and I secretly envied them. I was like, I wish I was in that group where there's only a few. Cause then if you have a few, you can like be faithful and do, you can really go much deeper. Like that is the benefit of a much smaller group. So I would say if you're at that point, you know, don't despise what the Lord has given you. Really enjoy that moment, because there might be a time where there is great increase and you wish you could have a deeper level of intimacy with people.
That's a great point.
So really savor that time now while you can. The Lord will certainly add people. Like the number of people is not a mark of success. It's simply the Lord does what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And whoever he puts in your way, it's intentional. And we're held responsible for that as shepherds.
Mm-hmm. What has it been like as your group has grown, thinking about how to go relationally deep with them as the numbers have grown, and even with the turnover that a lot of us see in our groups, like living in Boston, having people coming and going, it's not like it's the same six people you had 3 years ago plus six or eight more. It's like a whole new set, I would imagine.
Yes, I'll answer that first and then let these lady. And I think such a blessing that both of these women joined me, because at the point that I was leading with the mentality, I need to do the one-to-one book with every single person. Mm. I need to meet and have one-on-one discipleship. And they were like, you're not a minister. Like, it's okay. And also, even if you were, like, there's just not enough time to be doing that. And you have to trust God. And both of them challenged me. And I think I remember Adelina just being like, you have to pray and you can ask God, like, who do I invest time in and who do I let the Lord do what he's going to do? And what are the other kind of creative connections? Mm. So I'm glad that both of them warned me of that, or else I would have burnt out. And I think they saw that happening and they warned me graciously. But then there's also just like living life together. I think something we've tried to be more intentional about this past year is just really going to people's houses, seeing where they live, inviting them to our house, like hanging out together, sitting together during church, going to prayer together, like actually being the Book of Acts type of church where we know about each other. We have an email chain. We'll send out a song of the week. And now we start up like a group me text. I know a lot of community groups do that. It's like text chains are so powerful because you can just text each other and be like, hey, pray for me about this, or here's a funny joke and meme. Some of them are funny, some of them are not, but you just laugh anyhow. But there, I think it's also about doing life. I've also, I think Tiandra Ray, for anybody who remembers her, she really convicted me in terms of like what it looks like to live life in a community. If you're going to the grocery store, invite someone to the grocery store with you. If you're going to go for a run, Gina and I now start going running together. Like trying to invite people into life with you too, because it's not good for man to live alone. So really inviting people into those pieces and inviting yourself into other pieces too.
Yeah.
Another thing that I actually have learned more recently, because this has been a hard thing for me, is just the vulnerability of the weakness of leaders. Like just how we as leaders are struggling as well to know what it means to follow Jesus and not to present the nice, perfect selves.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this whole topic, and the verse that really jumps out to me is from 1 Peter, where I can't really quote it off the top of my head, but I can read it. It says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And I can, you know, we can talk a lot about deep stuff, but really when it comes to it, there are a lot of sins that we have. And for leaders to admit that we need prayer as much as we're going to offer prayer, or, you know, we stumble. And there are going to be weeks when we don't feel like doing a lot of things spiritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be vulnerable in crying and weeping together as much as celebrating things. And I think I've learned this only very recently, and I'm still struggling with that. But I do think that love covers over a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. And even between us, like if we have problems with each other as leaders, like we have to work it out and know how to forgive one another and love one another. So... yeah, that really speaks to me.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been saying recently, I don't remember where I picked it up, but you can't lead what you don't live. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you have to model for people that you want to take to a place.
It's a nice hashtag.
Mm-hmm. A nice hashtag, you can't lead what you don't live. I'm sure I stole it from somebody else, but I'll claim it as my own for now. until I remember the reference. So, does Flo give her famous last question in group? So Flo is a part of, Flo comes to our staff meetings and we'll have discussions and we'll be like just about to end the staff meeting and Flo will raise her hand and say, I've got one last question. And that one question will turn into like 45 more minutes. Oh, wow. Because
she does that during like 45 meetings.
She does, it's like this penetrating question. And when she's done asking the question, you don't even know if you're still a Christian because, or if you ever were one to begin with.
He's not exaggerating that much. That
it is. Whenever Flo raises her hand, I'm like, I gotta go. it's about to get deep fast.
I think you actually did that in staff meeting this week. You were like, no, Flo, we can't do it.
We can't do it.
I'm still gonna ask anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man. Awesome. I had one last question for you guys, which is, if I were like a new group leader who were just starting out and I was like, oh no, I'm like not particularly close to my new co-leader. I don't really know any of the girls in my group. Like we just launched our group and a bunch of strangers showed up to my house last week. Mm. What would you tell me to start with? Like we're looking into a group that's been going on for like 4 years that you guys have obviously gone really deep, but where would you tell a new group leader to even begin with all of this?
Step one, pray.
Oh, I say that half jokingly, but one of our old housemates who many of you know, she married off to another man in our church, Natalia. Natalia's not the man. Patrick's the man. Natalia's the roommate. We would always ask her a question, be like, so what should we do? And she's like, well, step one, pray. So there's a little inside joke there that when you don't know what to do, just pray. But no, seriously, I would say step one, pray. I would suggest, first of all, congratulations for following the Lord. And secondly, you and your co-lead, like, go have fun together. Go do something fun. Jump up in the trampoline area. Take a walk. Don't, like, go on a date, but, like, you know, especially if you're co-ed. but, like, could be too confusing. Unless you're married, then go on a date. But you should know who they are.
They know each other.
Wait, edit. Yeah. Then the relational depth becomes, like, a whole other problem if you're, like, this is the group's main issue. All right. But back to the original question. I would say step one, pray. Step two, go hang out with your co-lead, do something fun, and then take time to pray with your co-lead and ask God what he wants to do with your group. Mm-hmm. All this is meaningless if we are not doing it with and for the Lord. You should just quit now if that's not your reason. You're not doing anybody any good. In the same way that like the best thing you know, parents can do for their kids is to love each other well. The best thing we can do for leaders is to love the Lord well and love each other well. And that will cultivate the culture we want to replicate. If we don't know each other as leaders, that's only going to multiply. So question is, what do we want to multiply? We want to remain in Jesus and then bear that fruit like John 15. So I would say have some fun with your co-lead, pray. Don't be afraid. That's the number one most repeated command in the Bible over 600 times. Do not be afraid and have fun.
I know something that I did actually intentionally do. I don't know whether you realize this. As I started coming half an hour early and I started leaving later because I realized that I didn't know my co-leads that well. I mean, at that time, I think I would only known both of you for, what, a few months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Like literally a few months, and I don't know why I stuck my hand out. Anyway, so I did really decide to come earlier to actually know what was happening and then stay later. And then I started, sleeping over and just like sleeping on the couches so that we would have sleepovers and, you know, that created more time. So, yeah, there is an intentionality that I think is needed to get to know your co-leaders.
I think that what they said is all good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would add. I guess like even just starting small. So I think Sharon Flo spoke a lot to like, you know, seeking God, connecting with the co-leads. But I guess when it comes to kind of creating relational depth and starting somewhere with the actual group members, I would say just, you know, inviting someone to coffee, just starting somewhere with someone. You don't have to like take on everyone at once. Or, you know, fill up your calendar with all these different like meetings and appointments and coffee dates. I think, you know, even thinking about ways that you can be intentional within the group itself. You know, there are times when we don't go through a study, we'll just have people just go around and do updates. There are times when a couple times when Flo has been there by herself and the group has made her do all the updating because she's always asking, she's always trying to like sneak into other people, pry into other people's hearts and ask how their heart is. Yeah.
This is magic and I'm going to use this the next time I get coffee with Flo. No, we're not talking about me today.
Yes. So there are ways in which you can kind of take some liberty in within your own group in order to create space for like connection beyond like connecting with scripture. And actually I think that was something that we weren't as aware of. We weren't aware of that need and that desire within our group for people to have more like community building until one of our group members pointed out that we, you know, were really big on Bible study, which we all loved, of course, but like other people were just like, but you know, this is supposed to be a community group and I don't feel like I'm connected to community here. So it really woke us up and made us think differently. I mean, of course, we don't want to like have every single group not centered around Jesus and like not have script. Like we don't want to strip scripture or strip Bible study out of community group. But what we do want to do is create a space for community building.
Well, I mean, that just points to the fact that we really didn't get a lot of things right. And I think we had to learn a lot along the way. And we actually do send out a feedback to our community group members.
A survey.
They
don't always fill it out. We don't always remember to send it out. I, Schervogel, do not always remember to send it out.
Yeah, but we try to get feedback from them. It's like, honestly, what do you want from this community group? Like, what are your expectations? What did we do right? What did we didn't? Like, what can we do better in? And we want them to be empowered to have a say in that.
Yeah, great.
I think the last note that I'll just make that really hasn't, we haven't really mentioned yet, but I think is for what it's worth, I think somebody might find this valuable to hear, is that we do pray for each one of our, each of the people God has put in our way, like as a group, but also like as us as leaders, we pray for them individually. But then also when we're in person, like we do have some nights where we just go around and we like lay hands and pray on people. Like we have that power and that ability, and we prophesy, we practice the gifts. And I think for some people, you're at a stage where that makes sense. You need to be practicing the gifts. Some people, maybe you're not there yet, and that's okay. But this is really a special moment where you can really see what God wants to do and understand what each person's gift is there and call them out in that gift. Like this should be a place where people can practice their gifts and not just preaching, teaching, healing. But I'm talking about, we had some graphic designers in our group. They started creating graphic design scripture that we could put on our phone. Like, there's so many creative ways. Hmm. People are culinary artists. They want to cook. Like, great. Praise the Lord. Bring it on. Taste and see that
we
the Lord is good.
Fresh cookies.
Fresh cookies. Like, invite people to use their gifts in this space. Like, yeah. That is the body of Christ.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Here's what my last thing. Ladies, first of all, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you, guys.
Here. Thank you for being
you,
a part
Grandpa
of this church.
Donnie.
Thank you, Grandpa Donnie. Man, Tyler, strike that from the record.
Thank you, Sarah.
But seriously, thank you for leading. Thank you for giving of your time and of yourselves to advance God's kingdom through this local church in this city. It's a joy. And actually, Cher, would you just read that? We'll close out with this. Just read that passage you read for us out of Acts, and we'll have that be the end of what we do today.
Sure. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Well, there you have it. I hope you were encouraged by some of your fellow leaders and what God is doing here in our church. Remember, when you serve here at Aletheia or serve anywhere, it's not just to accomplish a task. Building relationships for the glory of God and the good of all people is the sweet spot and from which we're able to make disciples. So be encouraged. God is with you today. We're so proud of you, and we'll see you soon.